T-Bird fans. We welcome you to a brand new edition of T-Bird Talk. I'm Cloud County Community College Sports Information Director, Toby Nosker. On this week's edition of T-Bird Talk, we'll have an opportunity to visit with the head baseball coach at Cloud County, Eric Gilliland, and we'll sit down with the head softball coach of the Cloud County T-Birds, TJ Sagabart. A busy fall underway at Cloud County, including games being played by both the Cloud County baseball and softball teams as part of their 2025 fall seasons. The Cloud County Community College women's and men's cross-country teams both kicked off their 2025 seasons this past weekend as they traveled to Wichita to race in the 77th annual J.K. Gold Classic. And it's been a busy week for the Cloud County Community College volleyball team, which has had a couple of conference matches. First, a road match against number 6, Colby, last Saturday, and a road match against Garden City Community College on Wednesday. Sandwiched in between there was a road match against Southeast Community College. The T-Birds finally concluding an early season 8-match road swing last night, but they suffered their 5th consecutive loss as they were swept by Garden City Community College 10-25, 15-25, 14-25 in Kansas Jayhawk Community College conference play. The losses dropped Cloud County to 4-10 overall and 0-2 in conference action. Now, the T-Birds are back at home this Saturday as they will host the Triangular with LeBec Community College and Southwestern Community College. Cloud County will open the weekend Saturday at 1 p.m. against LeBec before meeting Southwestern Saturday at 5 p.m. LeBec enters this weekend's Triangular at 11-6 overall and 1-1 in Kansas Jayhawk Community College Conference Division II play. The Cardinals dropped a 3-set loss to number 5 Johnson County Community College Wednesday night. This Saturday's match will mark the first meeting between Cloud County and LeBec since August 2023, when the T-Birds swept the Cardinals at that year's Southeast Community College RKP Invitational in Beatrice, Nebraska. Cloud County will also be facing off with the Southwestern Spartans for the first time since August 2023, when the two teams play each other Saturday evening. In their last meeting in August 2023, the T-Birds recorded a 3-0 neutral site victory at a Triangular in Columbus, Nebraska. The Spartans sport a 2-11 record to open the 2025 season, and they will match up with Marshalltown Community College in Creston, Iowa tonight, prior to making the trip to Concordia, Kansas this weekend. Now, all three matches from this weekend's Triangular will be streamed on the T-Bird Sports Network at cloudtbirds.com. Fans can also follow the action on X by following CCCC Sports. As mentioned, the Cloud County Community College women's and men's cross-country teams opened their 2025 season last weekend at the 77th annual J.K. Gold Classic, hosted by Wichita State University. The T-Bird men's cross-country team came away with a 9th-place team finish. The team was led by freshman Davis Miltner, who finished 49th overall in a time of 20:23.24. Sophomore Galasa Abdisa took 56th place in 20:36.70 and was closely followed by sophomore Aziz Ben-Brahim in 20:39.12 to place 63rd overall. On the women's side, just 4 runners completed the race, led by a top 20 performance by sophomore Nato Ube. Ube placed 18th individually, running a time of 19:41.67. She placed 3rd among runners from 2-year institutions. Freshman Mackenzie Baker placed 62nd as she crossed the finish line at 21:31.21. Sophomore Rafiata Nuhu was 81st overall with a time of 22:58.01. And rounding out the runners for Cloud County was freshman Jade Williams, who finished the race with a time of 26:04.64, placing 105th overall. Now, both T-Bird cross-country teams returned to action on Saturday, September 20th, when they traveled to Lincoln, Nebraska for the Woody Greeno Jay Dirksen Invitational. The men's race will begin at 10 a.m., with the women's race to follow at 10:50. Of course, you can find out results and more by checking out the Cloud County Community College athletic website at cloudtbirds.com. That's where you can also view the fall schedules for both the Cloud County Community College baseball and softball teams. The Cloud County Community College softball team will be in action at home this weekend as they will host a fall doubleheader against the Hastings College Broncos. First pitch of the first game of the doubleheader is set for 1 p.m. from the Cloud County Community College softball field. The Cloud County Community College baseball team was in action at home twice this week. And this weekend, they're heading to Tulsa, Oklahoma to take part in the Oral Roberts University Showcase. On Saturday, they will match up with Northern Oklahoma College Tonkawa at 1 p.m. before taking on Grayson College at 7 p.m. Up next, a conversation with the head baseball coach at Cloud County Community College, Coach Eric Gilliland. This is T-Bird Talk.
Are you a Kansas or Nebraska high school senior who's thinking about your next step after high school? If so, you qualify for Cloud County Community College's $500 Early Bird Scholarship. All you have to do is visit campus before December 19th and have a GPA of 3.0 or higher, and you get a $500 scholarship guaranteed. So come visit Cloud and see why our students are Cloud proud. On your visit, you'll see our campus, meet with an academic advisor, and get a chance to have all your questions answered. Set up your campus visit today by giving us a call at 785-243-1435, extension 212, or visiting us online at cloud.edu/admissions.
A busy fall underway at Cloud County Community College, and that includes the Cloud County Community College baseball team, which earlier this week got its fall campaign underway. The T-Birds now heading to Tulsa, Oklahoma to compete in an Oral Roberts University Showcase where they will match up with two teams this weekend. Joining us is the head baseball coach at Cloud County Community College, Eric Gilliland. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in, Toby.
I appreciate you joining us. And before we jump into a conversation and discussion about this fall, let's briefly touch on where we ended things last year. The Cloud County Community College baseball team coming off its most successful campaign ever. You end up finishing 48-17 overall, make a deep run, including reaching the championship game in last year's Region 6 championship baseball tournament. Now that you've kind of had a few months to kind of reflect, think back to last year, how special was that year?
Yeah, it was really special. And you know, you never really know how it's all going to come together, but we hadn't played well in the postseason leading up to last year, and this happened to be the year that we got rolling and played really well in that tournament and made a run, and you look back on it and you know, it feels like it was yesterday, but it was, you know, it's hard to believe that we made that run. We played for a region title and unfortunately came up a game short but a group of guys that came together in the end and played, you know, pressure free, confident, had fun and put together an awesome and historic run.
It feels like every year since you've been here, expectations go up year after year. I don't know what kind of pressure you feel, the team feels year after year to have to outdo what you did. But coming off now, the best year that you've ever had, what is kind of your mindset heading in now to 2025, 2026?
Yeah, every year, I mean, in our first meeting, I talk about, you know, leaving a legacy and what's this team's mark going to be on the program and how can we move the program forward. And that doesn't just have to be wins and losses. I mean, I think that's obviously what everybody looks at, but you know, I think each team has really taken pride in, you know, they're all here individually, but I think they've taken pride in leaving their mark on the program, and we've had some awesome leaders that have taken that to heart, and you know, so clearly the next thing on the field to do is to get to the College World Series, and that's certainly not easy. This group's got a tall task to raise the bar from last year, but that's kind of been the goal since I've been here, was to get to the College World Series and have a shot to win the national title, and to see a team dogpile last year on the field against us and go. Almost gives you chills. We're that close. And so knowing where we came from when I got the job in 2017 to watching Johnson dogpile against us, you know, it's kind of surreal when you think about it. It doesn't seem like it's been 10 years, but we're close. And so obviously the next thing to do is to get to the College World Series. A lot of things have to go right. And you know, I sure don't want our guys to play with that pressure that we have to get to the College World Series. One game at a time, do what we can do and control what we can control, move the program forward in all areas and see where we sort out in the end.
What's been the conversation, though, with the sophomores, the returners from last year's team about, hey, we can't just celebrate last year. Now it's a whole new ball game, whole new season. We've got a whole new target on our back. So you've got to come back with that same fight, if not more, as we head into this year.
Yeah, I think that's been maybe the biggest change with as we've had more success is it does, you know, it's easy to be the underdog, and that's a fun role to play, is getting to sneak up on people and you know, and but it's a little different when now it seems like teams have got us teed up and coming after us. And so, but I literally told those guys the other day, it's a privilege to have that opportunity to be the team that people want to beat. And it's a different psychology, because you get complacent at times. It's a privilege to have teams coming after you. And so you got to show up every day, and you're going to get people's best shot. And what that does is it makes you sharper and it makes you better. And I think we got a great test on Tuesday from Pratt, getting to see, you know, some of their best arms, and they're much improved, and they came and jumped on us right out of the gates and got ahead of us. And it was really good for us. And so it was a good day of baseball, and ended up playing really well throughout the day. But you know, you could feel it right there, was, hey, this team here came in and wanted to beat us pretty bad. So
I'm going to talk a little bit more about this fall, including the matchup against Pratt earlier this week, in just a second. But coming out of last year, one of the highlights for the program this summer was the fact that you had two former T-Birds that were drafted in the 2025 Major League Baseball Draft. Former T-Bird Mason McConaughey, who was pitching at the University of Nebraska, drafted by the Texas Rangers in the fourth round of this year's Major League Baseball Draft. And then Carson Latimer, who, after Cloud County, went on to play for the Sacramento State Hornets. He was taken in the 12th round by the Cincinnati Reds. Talk to me what that means for a program like Cloud to be able to, and you and I have had this conversation on this podcast before, most of these guys, if not all of them, they're not dreaming about coming to play baseball here. They've got much bigger dreams. That includes being able to move on to Division I schools. McConaughey, Latimer, guys that did it. But then also the goal of, hey, can we ever make it to the big leagues? Can we ever live out that dream? To be able to see guys like this be able to at least achieve that next step and that goal for them, obviously excited for them, but then also what does that mean for Cloud County baseball?
It absolutely intensifies the buy-in from the freshmen immediately. And I remember a conversation I had with Mark Reardon. He was the old coach at Iowa Western when I first got the job here. And Iowa Western during Mark's time had won three titles in a decade and were the best team in the country, hands down. And I remember Mark saying, you know, when I get guys here, I don't have to work that hard to get their buy-in. All I have to do is point at the fence and show that we've won three national titles and we got guys playing on TV. And guys seem to listen pretty quickly. And so, you know, not only the guys getting drafted, but, you know, Sobrowski's on TV every single night. I think I got 8 text messages last night. He pitched against the Royals. And so, you know, it shows the guys in our program now that what we're doing works. Are we the reason? Maybe, you know, we might be a part of the reason. We're certainly not the only reason, but we were a part of their journey. And it shows people in recruiting and the guys that are here during, you know, in the development process, that what we're doing works, and this is a place that you can go and literally anything can happen.
How do you balance that as a coach, though, knowing those kids have loftier goals? You want to see them win and be successful here. They are focused on winning and being successful, but also their development, because they see so much more for themselves beyond Cloud. How do you balance that as the coach?
Yeah, I think that they have to understand that their success goes hand in hand with our success, and that, you know, if they want to move on to the next level, I talk to them all the time about, you know, you've got to be able to fit into a clubhouse at the next level, whether that's in minor league baseball or in Division I baseball. And when you walk into that clubhouse at the next level, what matters to them is winning. If they go to a Division I school, all that matters is going to Omaha. And so they have to buy into that same concept here, because at every level of baseball, coaches are going to want them to be a team player and buy into a team concept and contribute to winning. And so we've had, you know, it's a process of getting that buy-in, because ultimately they're here to move on. They didn't dream of playing at Cloud, but it's a process of getting them to buy into the team concept as well. And when they do that, it goes better for everybody. And when we win, then more eyes are on us. And, you know, coming off of that year last year, this was a good example. We went 48-17 and made a run to the regional, and probably have more recruiting attention for this current team than we've had in a long time, because the spotlight was on us, and P&A justifies that we've got good players. And so we've already had guys taking Division I visits, and we've got a lot of phone calls and people coming to watch us on Saturday. And so, you know, success leads to success, and it puts more eyes on the program, and it's good for the whole process.
One of the challenges, though, of JUCO you know, athletics and certainly impacts you greatly is the ability or the need to have to replace half your lineup, if not more, every single year. What was recruiting like getting ready for this season?
So a lot of it was already done, you know, before we had made that run. Most of the recruiting process takes part in the fall right now. But it sure was nice to have that for those late recruiting battles, to have a little bit of success to recruit off of. We like what we've brought in. We lost some guys late, you know, that's a good problem as we've gotten some better players. Some Division I schools came and got some of our 2025 recruits late in the summer and kind of left us a little shorthanded, but we were able to replace them and we're really happy with what we got. Probably one of the, some of the best leaders and most, focused and selfless group that we've had in a long time. I think we were looking for that. And we've also added a heck of a lot of talent to it. So it has a chance to be a pretty good group. Obviously, we would have liked to have got some of those guys that went to four-year schools late, you know, to campus, but we're happy for them. And we found some others to replace them, and we'll see what happens.
You do a lot of your recruiting in the fall. So do all the other schools. So tell me a little bit about the fall for you in this baseball program, because as we look ahead to your fall schedule, you're going to be making a lot of trips to a lot of different showcases. And this is really an opportunity where your players are going to get seen by a numerous number of schools that are going to be in attendance, watching, checking out, not just them, but there's going to be talent going on multiple fields at all of these showcases and different complexes you're going to be at. So tell me a little bit about what the fall season is for you guys.
Yeah. So, junior college, we have the opportunity to go play 14 fall dates, and on those dates you can play doubleheaders, you can play triple headers, and so we'll play about 25 games in the fall that don't go on a stat sheet anywhere. Just opportunities. There's some more or less scrimmages. There are opportunities for us to go play other teams. Our hitters will get up to 100 at bats in the fall before it even counts, and so from a development standpoint, JUCO basically slams four seasons into 2 years, and it's a huge opportunity for the guys to go out and play some of the best teams in the country. From a recruiting standpoint, the NCAA recruiting window opens up here in September. I think it opened up September 12th and runs into the middle of October. And so during that time, four-year schools are out and about. And so we try to hit all of the big showcases. And so this first one is in Tulsa this weekend. There'll be a bunch of schools there. And then we have our league showcase that brings almost 100 schools to Wichita every single year. And then we go to Kansas City and play at a huge PBR event, two-day event that we'll play four teams and several ranked teams there, three ranked teams out of those four. And that event had over 200 colleges recruiting at it last year. And so, for our guys, this month arguably is the most important month of their playing career to this point, because, you know, when they go out, there's been times where we've had pitchers step on the mound and 60 to 70 radar guns go up right behind home plate. And that's an intense moment for them. They need to be their best at this time. It's exciting though. It's what, you know, ultimately I've coached JUCO longer and longer, like maybe the most exciting thing for me is when, you know, that guy gets the offer from his dream school and gets that opportunity. Cause ultimately that's why we're here and to help guys move their careers along. And this month is really exciting for that purpose as well.
How do you manage things on a game by game basis then in the fall? Because lineups are going to be much different than what you do, you know, when the season actually begins coming up in the spring, because I know you set a pitching rotation and really get the word out, letting people know, hey, this guy's going to pitch this game, and he may only go an inning, maybe two, but you're going to mix it up quite a bit. So how do you handle that from a coaching standpoint?
Yeah, it's tricky because you can't hardly look at the scoreboard in the fall. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. You know, sometimes you're matching up, you know, your freshman arms with somebody else's sophomore arms, and we never really run our starters more than two or three innings. And so, you know, in the spring, you got a dominant starter, and he throws the first game and throws a shutout and saves the bullpen. And in the fall, we're going to run, you know, all of our pitchers two or three innings. And so it really kind of probably rewards the team with the most depth. But that's why we don't even turn the scoreboard on most of the time, is because it's more process over result. But also, and I mean, this is kind of the trap of that, is that, like, you know, when you take the scoreboard off, it does kind of remove some of the competitiveness of the game. And so when we have the opportunity, like a lot of times on Tuesdays and there's no schools in the stands and there's no showcasing going on, you know, we'll write one lineup up and we'll say we're going to play the best baseball we possibly can, score as many runs as we can, and not worry about, you know, who's on the mound and what we're going to try to put together a team baseball day. And you try to do that as much as you possibly can throughout the fall. Inevitably, it seems like when you go to some of these showcases, you got to kind of cater to the schools, and it gets a little bit watered down, a little bit more showcasey. But we want to play team baseball as much as we can all the time. So
one of the neat things too, based on the success that you've had in recent years, is you also draw the attention and the desire of teams that have been successful, some perennial programs across the country, that they want to come play you now, and they want to see how they match up. You mentioned Iowa Western earlier. You're going to run into them a couple times this fall. I know you head down to Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend. You're going to see Grayson College out of Texas. You've got a matchup with Crowder College coming up that you're going to play in Manhattan at Kansas State University. So, again, you know, you get to see in the fall some teams you don't normally run up against, but you also get to get an early glimpse at, hey, how do we match up against some of the best programs across the country?
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to play teams like Grayson and Tonkawa and Mineral Area and Iowa Western and Crowder, just kind of guys, teams that aren't really on the schedule in the spring just because of proximity. But in these fall events, we kind of meet up at these showcases and we get to play some different teams. But, you know, I would prefer to play the absolute toughest fall schedule you possibly can. It's how you get better. And when you play a good team, you know, you have no choice but to be clean and play clean, and you get better. And so not only are we going to these showcases to be seen, we're going to get better. And so when you get a chance to play against really good teams, it sharpens you up. And so, yeah, and the opportunity to play Crowder at Kansas State's something we've never done before, but we thought it'd be kind of a cool thing. They're 4 or 5 hours away from us, or meeting in the middle and getting to play at a major college stadium, so K-State can take a look at both teams. And yeah, I think those are opportunities that have come with success. You know, we didn't have those opportunities in 2017, but you know, as we've gotten better, we've gotten to do some of those cooler things, and it's good for the program, good for the guys.
Fall baseball got underway earlier this week on Monday. The T-Birds had an opportunity to match up with a high-performance baseball club out of Canada, a team that you played the last couple of years. And then the next day, got a chance to see another team out of the Kansas Jayhawk Community College Conference as you matched up with Pratt. So now things are off and running. How did the first couple of dates go?
Yeah, pretty happy with it. We're pretty amazingly. We're banged up already a little bit, and so we you know, it's like I said, it's you know, it's process over result right now. We're not sitting here looking at the scoreboard so much, but I was really happy with the cleanliness of how we played, even with guys moving in and out of the lineup over 16 innings in the day. You know, I think between the 2 days, we made 2 errors in like 28 innings, and we threw strikes. Our freshmen got out there and competed on the mound, which has kind of been a big question mark for us, getting the freshmen acclimated to college baseball, especially on the mound, can sometimes be an ugly process. But they all went out there and they competed and gave us quality innings, and yeah, I mean, I think we've got great leadership. We've got really good sophomore baseball players, and you know, if you're probably looking at anything that matters a lot, we have a really deep sophomore class of pitchers that have been on the mound a lot. One of the great things about our run last year was all of those guys were right in the middle of it. You know, every single one of those freshman returning pitchers had a big piece of that district tournament. And so they'll bring that experience back, and it plays huge. And so being old on the mound is historically a really good thing, and we're definitely that. So
a couple of more chances to catch the Cloudkenny Community College baseball team at home coming up this fall. The T-Birds will be at home on Monday, September 29th, when they host Southeast Community College. And then Tuesday, October 7th, they will match up with Barton Community College. You'll close out the fall with what you call the Fall World Series, kind of an inter-squad series that you play. That'll run October 14th through October 18th. You're also tying it into your family and alumni weekend. Should be a fun week for the baseball program.
Yeah, we're excited for that. You know, a lot of stuff to do before that, but that Fall World Series is kind of a chance the guys get to draft their own teams and kind of write their own lineups and have a lot of fun with that and compete against each other. And you know, it's an opportunity to get a lot more at bats there right at the end of the summer, or of the fall as well. And then we added the family weekend, the first time we've ever done it, family and alumni, putting the golf tournament in there. I've had a lot of requests for a golf outing, and so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we can get some people back for that. I know we've already got a handful of teams signed up, but yeah, it should be a fun weekend in mid-October, and hope we can get all the families and alumni out.
Alumni families that are interested, maybe want to play in that golf tournament that'll take place October 18th, just need to reach out to you. What should they do?
Yeah, they can sign up online. If you look at our social medias, there's definitely links online, and or they can email me or our foundation office to make sure they have a team in the tournament.
Coach, I appreciate you taking time to sit down with us, and best of luck as you make your way through the fall, and we look forward to talking to you again in the spring.
Thanks again, Toby.
Are you a Kansas or Nebraska high school senior who's thinking about your next step after high school? If so, you qualify for Cloud County Community College's $500 Early Bird Scholarship. All you have to do is visit campus before December 19th and have a GPA of 3.0 or higher, and you get a $500 scholarship guaranteed. So come visit Cloud and see why our students are Cloud proud. On your visit, you'll see our campus, meet with an academic advisor, and get a chance to have all your questions answered. Set up your campus visit today by giving us a call at 785-243-1435 extension 212 or visiting us online at cloud.edu/admissions.
The fall campaign is now underway for the Cloud County Community College softball team as well. And joining us this week on T-Bird Talk, we have Cloud County Community College head softball coach TJ Sagabart. Coach, great to have you back. How are you?
Doing good, Toby. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I appreciate you taking time to join us and excited to talk about the fall season for you that has begun and a lot of home dates that you're going to be playing, including this weekend where you get an opportunity to host Hastings College on Saturday. We'll touch on that in just a moment. Before we jump into all of that, though, can we kind of reflect back your first year as head coach with the T-Bird softball team? You go 16-28 last year, 7-15 in conference play. I know you felt like you left some games out there, but as a whole, now that you've had a couple of months to really reflect back, take a look at the season, what was your feelings on year one?
Well, I could go a lot of different ways with this answer. Being extremely competitive, I'm never going to get up here and brag about a losing record. The fact of the matter is at the end of the year, we weren't good enough to qualify for postseason play. That always stings. That always hurts. But you got to kind of take a step back and reflect and think about, the thoughts going into the season. I don't think anybody was predicting us to be a World Series team by any means. So we improved a lot. And, one thing I talked a lot about last year was the culture and trying to kind of build that. And, I think we did a really good job of that. Obviously, there were some improvements in the win column, improvements in stats. So I think it was a successful season, kind of given everything that was thrown at us, but a lot of room for improvement as well.
Four girls off last year's team end up signing to play at four-year colleges. Paige Mahler, playing for the Buena Vista Beavers, Shaylee Kessler, Harley Smith, Camille Stauffer, all signing to play for Bethany College. Brecken Whitney, I know an important sophomore on that team, along with others. How important were they in helping you in your transition as coach last year and helping to establish the culture, as you say, what you want this program to be?
They were really big. I'm hoping 4 or 5 years from now, Cloud softball is going to have a different reputation. And it's going to start with them. I thought they were all awesome. They were great leaders. And each of them did a good job of kind of playing their own role as far as leadership goes. I think of Brecken Whitney. She almost served as like a third coach. She did so much for the girls off the field, kind of hosting team dinners, team get-togethers. I think before games, they would all sit in a dorm room and watch film on whoever we were playing. And so it starts with her, and then you think about on the field. Harley was wonderful. Shaylee Kessler literally never had a bad day. I mean, always a smile on her face, always playing hard. And then you had Camille that was kind of the vocal leader. So they were wonderful. Can't thank them enough, and it's cool seeing – this year's team kind of take everything that happened last year and they're actually taking it up a notch.
I want to talk about recruiting coming into the 2025-2026 year. Heading into your first year as coach, you got hired very late in the process to where a lot of the recruiting had already occurred, or you were scrambling at the last minute to try to find players that could fill some positions for you. Coming into this year now, you've been established in the job for more than a year. You've had a full year where you can take part in that recruiting cycle. So take me through the recruiting process for you and assistant coach Morgan Russell, and what was the process like building out now this year's team?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, it was nice to have more than 3 weeks to, go recruit somebody. And we did a really good job. you look at everybody that we talked to or recruited, we only got told no by a handful of girls, which, you know, that's always going to be part of the job. But basically everybody that we wanted, we got, outside of, like I said, three or four. The biggest thing for me was pitching. I knew that needed addressed. I mean, obviously Paige and Brecken were both sophomores and we knew that they were going to move on. But we also learned it's really hard to play a full season with only two pitchers. So we went and addressed that. We're looking to have four or five on the roster this year. So a lot more depth. And then we're able to go get girls that really fit what I'm looking for. Good kids, you know, good in the classroom, good in the community, but also good softball players. And we're really excited about this group of freshmen. They've looked really good so far.
You return a lot of talent from a year ago, including a couple of all-conference honorable mention selections from last year. Emily Johnson from Concordia, a sophomore that split time at catcher and first base for you during her freshman season. She was an honorable mention all-conference player. And then Malia Coster from Salina, Kansas, a shortstop, also receiving honorable mention all-conference recognition. So you have a lot of talent back. You've got a lot of, I know, new faces into the program that you're really excited about. But when it comes to recruiting, and I was just talking with Coach Eric Gilliland about this earlier in the podcast, you know, one of the things that's a challenge, because this is a JUCO ball, you really have to look at replacing half your team, if not more, every single year. And you've also got to have your eyes on, okay, we know we've got Emily that can play this position. We know we've got Malia that can play this position, but this is their last year with us now. So now, you know, what are our holes looking ahead, not just this year, but the year after and so on. And so it's kind of almost like a chessboard, right, where you've got to be looking multiple pieces down the road, figuring out what your next move is.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you just mentioned, Emily and Malia, I mean, those are two big losses. We got Bella Santon, Berkeley, who's on the volleyball team, will join us in the spring. And so, and then Haley Garcia at second. So there are about five girls that played a huge role for us last year. And, you know, the expectation for them is to do the same this year. And so that's kind of where we start. You think, you know, what does this team look like without Malia? And obviously we, you know, we have a freshman shortstop. She's not the only person that can play short for us. Allison Adams has looked great. A lot of trust in her. But you look at those pieces that we're missing and you say, you know, that's where we got to start. We got to replace Emily, who's a catcher, first baseman. We got to replace Malia, who's a shortstop outfielder, with Bella. And so that's kind of where it starts. But then, you know, like you said, there's other pieces that need to be added in it too. So finding girls that can play multiple positions is always big. It's hard to get somebody that can only play one, because a lot can happen over the course of the season. We saw Emily, who came in only as a catcher and played a lot of first base and even got a game at third for us. So it's fun. It's recruiting is my favorite thing about coaching, kind of looking into the future. But those are going to be some big shoes to fill for sure.
The amount of girls that I could probably list at times as utility, because, oh, they might pitch, they can play some outfield, we might see them at third, we might see them at first. You know, you were kind of doing that. It was kind of a juggling act at times, you know, figuring out that lineup and where people were going to be positioned. Yeah, the ability to be able to have depth at positions is really key.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing, you know, so far this year compared to last year is, you know, we have four girls that can probably go start at shortstop for us right now. And last year, you know, I feel like if Malia got hurt or something, we would have been kind of in scramble mode there. So we've got three or four girls at every position. I mentioned some more girls in the circle for us pitching. It's definitely a good problem to have, but, you know, right in these, even the fall lineups, it's like, you know, I don't always know what to do.
I want to talk a little bit about the fall. You have a couple of games already in, a pretty deep fall schedule that we'll highlight in just a second. But as we talk about the culture and what you're hoping to create with T-Bird softball, those girls that we mentioned before that are back from last year's team, What have been the early season conversations now with them about, hey, let's build upon that momentum that we started last year and make sure that coming into the official 2026 season in the spring, that we take everything up a notch and that we raise the expectations and the goals of this program?
Yeah, there's kind of individual conversations with all the sophomores. You know, everybody leads in a different way. I kind of mentioned Brecken, you know, she was kind of the off the field captain, where she would do a lot of stuff like that. You think of Bella, she was the energy giver in the dugout. And so this year I kind of talked to all of them. Malia is one of the hardest workers I've seen. I mean, her dream is to move on and play Division I softball. She leads by example. She's not very vocal. She's not one that's going to be super rowdy and kind of, you know, giving the pregame talks. And I challenged her and I said, you know, you're one of the best players in the conference. A lot of people look up to you. Try to have a voice this year. And so she's really taken that by stride. She's been awesome. Emily Johnson's been a wonderful leader so far. And, you know, last year the culture, I think, got set a little bit, and they are taking it to the next level this year, where it seems like every practice I'm staying an extra hour, hour and a half, hitting extra fly balls, hitting extra ground balls, even just staying and hitting. So it's good to see, you know, that we weren't satisfied with last year, but, you know, we're actually taking it up a notch, taking it to that next step.
The fall, you get about two full months of a lot of competition and games, a chance to be able to get on the field, work on some player development, but also see yourself against some live competition. How do you approach the fall? What is it that you're looking for? And kind of tell me a little bit about maybe some of that development and strategy from your standpoint as the coach and the overall approach, what it is that you're trying to work on and see with these girls.
So, you know, I guess we can kind of start with the scheduling. I try to get a mix in there. I do like to bring in a couple high school teams every year. It kind of helps recruiting, and it kind of shows them, you know, who we are and the way that we're going. So there's a couple high school games mixed in there. Obviously some other JUCO games in there because, you know, that's the same level as us, obviously. So I want to see how we compare, you know, against Barton, against some of these other schools. Then we also have some four-year scheduled, which helps our girls get recruited, and at the same time gives us a chance to go play girls that are older than us and, you know, have been playing as a team for a while. So that, you know, it kind of starts with the scheduling. I do try to be strategic there. And then, you know, as far as how we go about it in the fall, last year we did a lot of very scripted lineups where we'd say, hey, this is the batting order for the first three innings, and then we're going to do all these mass substitutions, which we did last year to kind of try. Looking back, I wasn't a huge fan of it because if somebody's only getting three innings, you know, at a time, you may not get a ground ball, you may not get a fly ball, you may only get one at bat. So it was kind of hard to prove, you know, kind of what you're capable of doing. So this year, we always play doubleheaders, so I'm going a lineup in game one, and then not completely different, but a pretty different lineup in game two, and they're going to get the whole game to kind of show what they can do. You know, I want to be successful this fall, but I like to see failure. That's the biggest thing to me. The spring is such a grind, and it's got ups and downs. It's easy to do well when everything's going good. I want to see how our players respond, how our girls do when it is hot, when it is, you know, against better teams and, you know, maybe everything's not going our way.
The Clatkenny Community College softball team in action at home this weekend as the T-Birds will be matching up with Hastings College. It'll be a doubleheader at the Clatkenny Community College softball field. First pitch of the first game is scheduled for 1 o'clock. You've had a couple of dates to this point. Took on one of those aforementioned high school teams, Blue Army, back on August 30th. And then last weekend made the trip to Great Bend to match up with the Barton Community College Cougars. Ended up splitting that doubleheader, but I know you were really encouraged and excited by the things you saw.
Absolutely. Barton is a great team. They finished third on the other side of the conference last year, nationally ranked, reigning coach of the year, reigning pitcher of the year, a game away from the World Series. And we went and we didn't back down. We were not scared of them. We dropped game one in a tight 3-4 game, I believe. We ended up getting walked off in the bottom of the seventh because of a fly ball that we lost in the sun, which that happens. That's part of it. I was really pleased. We played a clean game. So, you know, after the game, I kind of just told everyone, great job. Let's end the day on a high note. And what's cool is they kind of looked at me like, you know, what do you mean? Let's go win. We're not here just to be okay. We're not here to, you know, barely lose. And so we went out game two and we kind of put it to them a little bit. We ended up hitting 3 home runs that day, or that game. We had 4 on the day, won game two by a score of 6-3. And, you know, our Super Bowl shouldn't be won in September by any means. And it's fall. I know that Barton didn't give me their best lineup both games, but it's encouraging to see us go up against some of the best teams in the country and, you know, not only hold our own, but win.
T-Birds again going to take on Hastings College at home this Saturday. First pitch of the first game set for 1 o'clock. Plenty of opportunities, though, to see the T-Bird softball team in action this fall. They'll be back at home September 28th. They'll take on Kansas Nitro and Valkyrie softball then. They've also got a triangular of games coming up October 12th and then October 16th at home to host Central Christian College. You can see a full schedule up at the Cloud County Community College athletic website at cloudtbirds.com. That'll take you through the fall, and then after the fall season wraps up, I know you and Coach Morgan Russell currently in the planning stages of putting together a camp that you're going to be hosting. Tell me a little bit about what you have planned. We'll be getting a lot more information out, but what are you guys working on at this stage?
Yeah, so we're kind of in the early stages. We just got our dates. So Saturday, November 8th will be our youth camp. We're looking for maybe kind of ages kindergarten through fourth grade for that. More of an instructional camp, obviously, you know, hopefully to do a lot of learning, mix some games in there, have some fun with it. Then we're going to come back that next day on November 9th, and that'll be our high school prospect camp. With our prospect camps, we are hoping to still do some instruction, and, you know, we want the girls to leave that camp thinking that they learned something or, you know, took some stuff away. But we'll also do some, you know, home defer, some pop time, exit velos, so we can get those numbers for the girls for their own recruiting purposes too. So November 8th and 9th, going to be a full weekend of camps.
We talked about this with Coach Gilliland earlier, but, you know, when you get to the spring, it's so chaotic and hectic with your own schedule and all the games and things that you're doing. So as much as you can bring in high school teams, as you said, to compete during the fall or host this prospect camp that gives you an opportunity to see some kids around the area. This is a great recruiting opportunity for them because, again, you're so tied up with everything that you've got going on managing your team and your season in the spring that you may not be able to physically get out there and watch them play. This is a great opportunity for them to come in, showcase their skills in front of you.
Absolutely. We had 3 girls at our camp last year that are high up on my recruiting radar. And if it wasn't for that camp, I wouldn't have known about them. I would have never saw them last year because we are so busy. So camps are always good. I mean, it's anytime you can get in front of coaches, kind of showcase your skills, it's a good opportunity for you. And like I said, last year was a success and hoping to maybe find a couple more this year.
We'll be getting more information out about the camp dates and what all is going to be taking place as we get closer to that time. But want to make sure folks mark down those dates. Again, what do you have as the date scheduled for your camps?
Saturday, November 8th will be our youth camp. And then Sunday, November 9th will be our high school prospect camp.
Talking today with Cloud County Community College head softball coach TJ Sagabart. All right, coach, I'm going to close out with what I call my final 4 questions. And for those that don't know your background, your story, I mentioned last year was your first year coaching softball here at Cloud. First year ever coaching softball, right? Prior to that, though, you had been a baseball coach and an assistant baseball coach over a couple of different tenures here at Cloud County. What sparked your interest in coaching? Why was that something you wanted to do? You played college athletics yourself as a baseball player, but what took you down this path? What sparked that interest in coaching?
So, you know, I'm pretty open and honest about it. I was not the most talented player in the world. I got on a college roster because I worked pretty hard. I was a student of the game. You know, it was more of my IQ and my knowledge and, you know, work ethic that led me to college. So, in between my freshman and sophomore year, I had an arm injury, ended up redshirting my whole sophomore year, and, you know, ultimately led to me being done playing. And, you know, I kind of hit a point where baseball was my life. It's all I did. It's all I focused on. So whenever I transferred to K-State after Butler, I got the opportunity to work at a baseball facility for a scout for the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, seeing the joy and just, you know, these kids that really want to learn, it hit me, you know, way harder than any satisfaction I've ever gotten while playing on the field. And actually, I found out that I was a lot better at teaching someone to do something than I was ever, you know, capable of doing as a player. So it kind of started there, just kind of doing lessons. And then I got the opportunity to coach a summer ball team, and I just absolutely fell in love with it.
Question two then. Last year was your first time ever as a head coach, and it was your first time ever coaching softball. You had done some hitting instructions and kind of served as a little bit of an assistant the year prior. There's enough similarities, but there's some major differences between baseball, softball. For you, though, as a coach, year one in the books, what do you feel like you learned the most as a coach coaching softball that you feel like is a lesson you take with you, something you can carry over into this year and maybe set yourself up and the team up for more success in year two?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go about this. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences too. I mean, you know, just as far as kind of your basic rules go, learning some of that stuff. You know, I think ultimately what I can take away from me is you coach guys in baseball differently than you coach girls in softball. They respond differently to different things. And so I think last year, you know, maybe I tried to bring out some of the rah-rah type of energy, and I don't think the girls really responded that well. So I think, you know, the biggest thing is you go at it with respect. They love getting coached. You know, if you prove that you have their back, they'll run through a brick wall for you. So it's all about kind of giving respect and going about it the right way.
Question three, as we look to the fall, and you talked about Malia being an example earlier. You know, she has pretty lofty goals. She wants to be able to move on and compete at a Division I school. And for a lot of these new faces that you've brought into the program, again, you're working on creating a culture. You're trying to create a reputation for Cloud County softball that may not exist at this point. And so as you're recruiting these new players that are coming in, they may have never even heard of Cloud County until they get an email, a text, they see you in person at some event. And so for them, the goal isn't to come play softball at Cloud County. A lot of them have goals and desires way beyond here. So for you as a coach, especially in the fall where right now you're really working on player development, how do you balance that? How do you balance winning, what you want to do, what you want to be successful here, versus the development of these players that another year or two are going to be moving on somewhere else? Tell me a little bit about how you try to manage that as their coach.
So I think that's the beauty of junior college, and I think that's part of the reason I am so attracted to this, you know, the division. You know, nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, there's probably a handful out there. Not very many people grow up wanting to be a T-Bird. Everybody, you know, wants to, especially in the softball world, OU's pretty good. You know, Florida, there's Wichita State, there's good Division I schools out there. And so kind of what I tell girls is, I know you probably didn't grow up with the Cloud County T-Birds poster hanging over your bed every night, but if you choose to come here, I will do everything I can to get you to dream school. With JUCO, there's really no limits on how we can practice and how involved me and Coach Mo can get with the girls. And so that's kind of part of our deal is we'll do whatever it takes to help you, whether it's as a person in the classroom or, you know, athletically. But you got to be willing to get coached. You got to be willing to hear some, you know, I guess honest feedback at times. And you're right, there is a balance to the player development and the winning. But I think if you can make these girls the best players that they can be, the winning gets a little bit easier. But we also, it's split pretty well into the fall and the winter, where that is a lot of time of individual work and, you know, focusing on the players. But then once the spring hits, you know, it's time to win. It's time to write a lineup that can win the most games, and there's not a whole lot of shuffling. So they have all the way up until February, basically, to take all the coaching they want, take all the feedback they want, spend as much time in the indoors they want. And then it's my job to win in the spring.
And it leads me to my final question, question four, because I want to ask your approach to setting goals. You told me there's been a lot of discussions about individual goals. And as we talk about the makeup of this year's team, you know, there's a lot of depth at a lot of positions. And unfortunately, you can only put nine out there. And so that means there's going to be times that people aren't getting the time that maybe they desire or they want. What is your approach and your conversations with them when it comes to setting individual goals and team goals? And I know you hope that, you know, if they're meeting their individual goals, that means the team goals are getting met in the process too. But tell me a little bit about that approach and the conversations that have to happen now, even in advance of next spring.
You know, I'm learning that as we go right now, honestly. Last year we had a small roster and there were some injuries mixed in and some other things where I say unfortunately, maybe that's not the right word, but I knew who was playing every game. I mean, before the game, the lineups, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of shaking just because we didn't have a whole lot of depth. And so this year it's going to be a completely different story. You know, what I've told the girls as I recruited them, I don't watch a girl and say, man, she would be a great backup third baseman. You don't go recruit backups. You recruit people that you think can help you win, that you think can go win a job, you know, be an all-conference type player. But as you mentioned, not everybody's going to play this spring. So I will say, you know, having a year under my belt and kind of learning the rules of softball and kind of some of the different things that you can do. You know, maybe somebody doesn't start the game, but it could be the most, you know, they could score the game winning run as a pinch runner later or a pinch hitter or whatever it may be. So, we're going to have to kind of establish what everybody's roles are going to be. And then the challenge will be, you know, encourage them to whatever that role is, be the best at it, be the best pinch runner in the entire conference, be the best fourth outfielder, whatever it may be. And it's, you know, it's going to lead to some unhappy players at times, but that's, you know, kind of the nature of the game.
Make the most though of any and all opportunities they receive.
Yeah. I mean, that's give me a reason, to not be able to play you. That's kind of the thing. If somebody's sick or hurt and misses a game, go 3 for 3 the next game. And guess what? You're probably going to see the field again. So it's seizing the opportunity and making the most of it.
Coach, best of luck as you guys maneuver your way through the fall season, and we look forward to having a conversation with you again coming up in the spring. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Tovey. We really appreciate you.
TJ Segebart, head softball coach at Cloud County Community College, joining us. The T-Bird softball team back in action at home this Saturday. A couple of fall games against the Hastings College Broncos. First pitch of the first game set for 1 o'clock from the Cloud County Community College softball field. And again, you can see a full fall schedule up at the Cloud County Community College athletic website at cloudtbirds.com. That's going to wrap up this week's edition of T-Bird Talk. New episodes of the podcast drop each Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platforms. T-Bird Talk is a production of the Cloud County Community College Athletic Department.